This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. Today we'll be talking about a modern-day miracle which all of us have had the privilege of witnessing last Friday, and that is the humbling and downfall of our modern-day Pharaoh, Mubarak. And what I wanted to do, I know last show we talked about the situation in Egypt and what and how we should view this as something that applies to all of us and not just those who are in Egypt, and what this lesson should teach us about what we should be doing internally within our own selves and within our own lives. And what I wanted to do today was kind of take a, a step back and look at the whole situation and what it is that we can learn from everything that happened. What are the signs? What are the lessons? Because we need to realize that there is nothing that happens in this life that happens without a reason, without a purpose. Allah does not do anything without a purpose or without, a reason. And so when we look at our life and the things that are happening around us, we have to be able to look at those things and learn from the lessons and really be able to see what it is we're supposed to be, learning from these things, and what is it that we're supposed to be taking away from these events in our lives. And subhanAllah, this event that happened on Friday is so, it is so overwhelming and so humbling. And I really feel, we talked about this, yes, the last show as well. I really feel this sense of like the Red Sea splitting in front of our eyes, because subhanAllah, we're told about these stories in the Quran about, for example, Musa alayhi salam, when he stood at the Red Sea with his people, and Bani Israel, he was trying to free them of the tyranny of Fir'aun at the time, and how they got to the Red Sea and they looked like they were trapped and there was no way out for them. And yet, Musa alayhi salam had full faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, Allah opened up the sea for them, something which is unheard of, right? I mean, you don't look at a sea and you don't usually get a pathway through a giant body of water. And yet that's exactly what happened. And subhanAllah, you don't topple a 30-year regime tyrant, the worst dictator in modern times with Facebook, right? You don't take down with no, peacefully with no arms and just people, just youth on the streets. You don't take down this tyrant where you couldn't do it in Iraq. You couldn't do what these people did in 18 days with no arms and just internet. And so subhanAllah, this is really, we have to reflect on this, and we have to really, really realize, everybody's talking about how did they do it? It's so amazing what they did. And really, truly, it is amazing. But what we have to realize is that they didn't do it. Allah did it. Allah did it. This is something where we need to see it exactly for what it is. And that is the help of Allah, the Nasr of Allah coming to us when we fulfill the prerequisites that are required for the Nasr of Allah to come. And so we for so long we've been hearing this, that, the condition that we are in as Muslims, that Allah will not change that condition. That we hear this ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That this, we always felt that the condition that we were in as an ummah was down, and we heard so many times in khutbas and in lectures and in articles that this condition that we are in will never change until we first change what is inside of ourselves. And subhanAllah, that lesson was shown to us before our very eyes, that when we made a real decision, when we decided to make a change, internal change, and we decided to fulfill those prerequisites. Again, I'm going to talk about what are those prerequisites. Fulfill those prerequisites in order to deserve, in order to get the nusra, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we decided to do that, and so Allah sent His nusr, His help, His victory to us. Now, when we talk about what are these prerequisites, what are the things that you need, what does Allah tell us in the Quran are the prerequisites for success? What are the prerequisites for victory? And there are a couple. One of them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is in, if you look at the final ayah of Surah Al-Imran, Allah tells us in this ayah that victory will come with basically two components. And those two components which are talked about in this ayah is sabr. So Allah tells us to have sabr. And then He says, wasabiru. So not only are we supposed to have patience and have perseverance, but we should also, you know, enjoin others to have that as well, and to call others to that perseverance, standing firm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says taqwa. That's the other ingredient in this ayah. And wa taqullah, that this taqwa is where the fear aspect comes. And that is that, you know, this is something that they talked about so many times in the media, is that the barrier of fear was broken. And then once that barrier of fear was broken, these people could not be defeated. And that is exactly the lesson here, is that if we have patience and we have perseverance and we don't give up, and at the same time, we decide that we are not going to fear anyone or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then and only then will the victory of Allah be sent to us. And Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ, in order that you will have success, in order that you will succeed. And this is the formula for success. Now, if you look at everything that happened, you know, throughout this whole process of 18 days, it was an amazing, every day was a sign, subhanAllah, every single day was a sign. And to begin with, one of the main lessons that we can learn from this whole miracle is that the victory of Allah comes only when Allah appoints it to come. It does not come a moment sooner, nor does it come a moment later. Now let's look at this for a second. If you look at the day before, just the day before the dictator finally, you know, he left, it was Thursday. And what happened on that day is that everybody was expecting him to step down on that day. Everyone was celebrating in Tahrir. Everyone was celebrating, expecting this announcement that they were finally successful. And everyone all over the world was very excited. I remember there was all this discussion and all these discussion boards that I'm on, and everyone was just pumped. Everyone was so excited that this is when the Nasr of Allah is going to come, the help of Allah, the victory. And then we waited, and he was late, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited like, I think, an extra hour. And it was just all this anticipation, subhanAllah. And he came up there, and he said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And right then was part of the lesson. And that is that, are you going to give up? First of all. And second, the victory doesn't come when we want it to come. The victory doesn't come when we expect it to come. The victory comes when Allah appoints it to come. And subhanAllah, no one could have imagined that just hours later, the very next day, that victory would come. Inshallah, we'll take a break now. And when we return, we'll continue speaking about the lessons from this amazing modern day miracle in Egypt. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity on One Legacy Radio. And we're talking right now about all the lessons and the amazing, signs of this modern day miracle that happened in Egypt last Friday and in this last 18 days. So we were talking right now about when that announcement came, and the day before and the days prior to when the announcement came that, you know, success had come and he was dethroned. And one of the things that we were reflecting on was the fact that when we were expecting it to happen the day before, there was a really, really major lesson to learn at that point, because, you know, at that point, we could have given up and we could have thought, you know, the, you know, just like subhanAllah in the ayah where Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُمْ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Now what this ayah is talking about is Allah says, do you think that you will enter paradise without being tested, without being tested like those who were tested before you? أن تدخل الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا. And they were, and those people, they, you know, they had hardship come upon them and adversity so much, and they were so shaken. حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معهم, until the prophets and even those who believed with them said, متى نصر الله, where is, or when will the Nasr, the help, the victory of Allah come? And the very last part of the ayah says, Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. And that is that truly the ayah finishes with, and truly the victory, the help of Allah is near. And you'll notice here that that day when we heard that Mubarak is not stepping down, a lot of people felt very discouraged. A lot of people felt that exact way that is described in that ayah. When is the help of Allah coming? When is this happening? And the answer that we needed to keep in mind and see through everything was, indeed, the help of Allah is near. And subhanAllah, it was so near that it came the very next day. And you'll also notice, and this is subhanAllah, so, so deep, the fact that when we were waiting for it to come, we were celebrating, we were, you know, we were pumped, and it didn't come, right? And the next day, when it did come, it was Friday, and it was just after this very intense dua that Muhammad Jibril had made, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help, right? And you'll notice, if you guys have seen this, that when the announcement came that the Pharaoh had been dethroned, when the announcement came, it came while they were praying. It didn't come while they were celebrating, while they were pumped, while they were, you know, waiting for it. It came while they were praying. And when that came, what happened was there were, part of the people had prayed Maghrib, but the travelers were now praying Isha. They were combining. And so half of, you know, a group of the people were praying while a group of them were not. And so the people, when the news came that Mubarak had stepped down, the people who weren't praying started celebrating, started cheering. And those who were praying, now look at their behavior, look at their demeanor. They didn't, you know, they didn't shorten their prayer. They didn't step out of prayer. They didn't, they didn't even quicken, you know, to finish, but they finished their salah. And they completed their salah, and after that, they just started celebrating. And subhanAllah, look at the lesson here, is that when you honestly, you know, the deeper lesson basically in this whole thing is this, is that when you make Allah first, when your focus is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then His help comes. But if our focus is on anything else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if our focus, if when we have a problem in our life, if our focus is on the problem, had these people focused instead on the tyrants and the thugs, they would have been defeated. But they didn't. They didn't focus on the tyrants and the thugs. They looked past the tyrants and the thugs to the Lord of the tyrants and the thugs. And so us in our lives, this is inspiration for us as well, because we all have problems, right? We all have things that we deal with. We might have people in our lives who oppress us in one way or another. And if we are able to look past and look through those problems and through those oppressors to the Lord above them, that is when we get a way out. That is when we get victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tells us in the Quran من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا. That whoever has this fear of Allah, this consciousness of Allah, where Allah is your focus, Allah is where your eyes are focused, is where your eyes are looking, that when you have that, يجعل له مخرجا, that Allah will make for them a way out. And that is the way out. It isn't through, you know, again, had they gotten distracted by the obstacles that were in front of them, they would not have succeeded. But they looked through those obstacles, and they looked through those obstacles, and they focused. And you know, and you'll notice, and all the commentators will point this out, that salah was an integral part of the entire protest, right? When salah time came, they stood in rows and they prayed. They didn't say, no, we have to focus on, you know, these chants, or we have to focus on the protest. You know, we can pray later. They prayed, and that prayer and that dua was central. And that is where the Nasr came from. It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the victory comes from nowhere else. It comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one other story which I want to point out, because it also gives us this same lesson, is the story of Hajar. As you know, Hajar was left in the desert, and she had a baby. And she's stuck in the middle of a desert with a baby with no water. Now, at this point, Hajar, she was in a state of tawakkul. She had, you know, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet Hajar did not just sit down and wait for water to fall out from the sky. Hajar got up and she did strive. And that's why actually the whole process of her running between Safa and Marwa is called Sa'i. And Sa'i literally means to strive. And so that striving of hers was her part, right? That was her doing her part. When those people in Egypt stood up and they went every single day regardless, they said, we're not going to back down. They were doing their Sa'i. They were doing their part of that struggle by doing that. Now, what happened with Hajar? After seven times, now here's the other lesson. You notice that Hajar went to Safa and went to Marwa, and she looked on both mountains for water, and she didn't find water. But did she give up? Because you'll notice that after she's already checked both, why would she go back and check where she already checked? And yet she did. She did not lose hope. And she went back, and she did this seven times. She didn't give up. Even though she'd already checked, she checked again. She did everything in her power, and she didn't give up. That is the sabr. That is the perseverance. And that's exactly what the Egyptian people did. They did not give up. They kept going back. They kept going back. And even at that point where it seemed like the victory was so far away, on Thursday, that day where he stood up and said, I'm not going anywhere. They continued, and they in fact came the next day stronger than they had ever come before. And at that point, what happened? Well, what happened with Hajar? Water came from out of a desert. Could Hajar have done that? Did Hajar herself, was her running back and forth between Safa and Marwa what made water come from the desert? Obviously, that there's no human being who can make water come from the desert. Similarly, there is no human being who could have dethroned such a dictator after 30 years with no weapons and in only 18 days. That was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll take a break now, and when we return, we'll continue talking about the lessons from this modern day miracle that happened last Friday. Welcome back. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity on One Legacy Radio. And we're talking today about, you know, the events that unfolded last Friday and in the last, you know, over a period of 18 days in Egypt. And, you know, please feel free to join the discussion by calling at 1-800-955-5548. So one of the lessons that I also wanted to talk about, and I discussed this a little bit earlier, and that is that the victory of Allah, victory only comes from one place, and that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it doesn't come from anywhere else. And that when that victory is written, it will come at the time that is appointed by Allah, and not a moment earlier and not a moment later. Now, we talked about the issue of that it wasn't a moment earlier. It wasn't when we expected it on Thursday. It wasn't when we were cheering and expecting that it was going to come, but it was going to come when Allah wrote it to come. And you'll notice that it also did not come a moment later. Now, one of the things that the regime was doing is they would try one thing after another, after another, after another, to try to stop this from succeeding. And it's really, really interesting to look at the different things that they tried and how each one of them ended up backfiring. And in this is a lesson in and of itself, and that is that they plan, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكْرَ اللَّهِ, that they plan or they scheme and Allah plans. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَقْرِينَ, that Allah is the best of planners. And I mean, I can give you, and I'll go through, if you look at one by one, each thing, it happened, and subhanAllah, it kept backfiring. So from the very beginning, starting even before the protests, what happened was there was a blogger by the name of Khalid Said. And this guy, he was an Egyptian, young Egyptian blogger who was trying to sort of expose the brutality of the police in Egypt and how they would torture and beat and how there was so much injustice and brutality. And so what happened to him was he was actually captured and he was beaten to death. And because of this, what they did to him, and if you saw the pictures of what they did to him, his face was unrecognizable. It was, they had just beat him to a pulp. And so what happened was, may Allah have mercy on his soul. What happened was, there was another individual by the name of Wa'il Ghunaim, and he, among others, saw this incident, and it just made them so upset that they decided that they were going to take a stand and they were going to try to fight this regime. And so what Wa'il Ghunaim did is he anonymously started a Facebook group. And what this Facebook group did was, it was called We Are All Khalid Said. And that was the Facebook group that really sparked a lot of these, sparked this protest, because it what they did was it started, and then it gained like half a million followers. And then what they did is they started using that to plan the protests. Now, what's interesting here is that from the beginning, it was this, they thought, because Khalid Said was exposing parts of the regime and the brutality of the regime and the police. And so they thought by killing him and by beating him that they were going to, you know, keep themselves, they were going to protect themselves, right? And yet, subhanAllah, it was that action which actually sparked this Facebook group by Wa'il Ghunaim, and it was that Facebook group by Wa'il Ghunaim which sparked this protest, this revolution, which ended up actually taking them down. And even another maneuver that the regime tried to do was they tried to capture the person himself, Wa'il Ghunaim, so the one who started the Facebook group. They captured him, and they kept him. They thought, okay, we're gonna stop this by capturing Wa'il Ghunaim. And yet, subhanAllah, because they captured him, and when they released him, he did an interview, and because of his capture and because of his interview, the protests, which had started to decrease, actually came out, and it got stronger than it had ever been before that point. And so what happened was their capturing of him actually galvanized the protests more than it ever had been before. And people came out because of that who had never come out before. So here again, they plan and Allah plans. Another thing that the regime did was that they thought that they were going to, okay, they're going to, you know, stop the coverage of Egypt by attacking journalists, right? So they go after Anderson Cooper. And this is hilarious because Anderson Cooper, as a result of being attacked, he came back to the States and he became an advocacy group for Egypt. It was amazing. I mean, it was something where you really see before your eyes Allah using someone as a tool. Because Anderson Cooper, if you know Anderson Cooper, he's so detached. He's the type, you know, he's not one to take, you know, the side of Muslims in the media. He's not one to, you know, be very emotional, but he was emotional about Egypt. And if you saw his coverage, it became so, it wasn't even unbiased anymore. He was advocating for the Egyptian people. It was amazing. And so again, they plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. Another thing that they did is they blocked Facebook. They blocked Facebook and they blocked the internet. And actually, Wa'il Ghanem, in one of his interviews on 60 Minutes, he actually explains that they were successful because the regime blocked Facebook. He said that because they blocked Facebook, the people, the millions of people who wanted to go on Facebook and see what's happening with the protests, couldn't. And so, as he puts it, because they couldn't see it on their screen, they had to go out to Tahrir and join it and see it for themselves. So because they tried to block Facebook, as a result, it actually brought out more people to Tahrir. Again, they plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. Another thing that they did was, the regime was like, okay, we're gonna take them down by sending out these thugs, right? We're gonna send out these thugs. They're gonna terrorize the people. We're gonna go have them go into people's homes and steal. And so they thought that this is going to break down, you know, that this is gonna put fear in the people. It's gonna break down the morale. And yet it did the very opposite. As a result of these thugs, the people had to come together and join together to protect the streets. And so what this actually did was it made the bond between the protesters even stronger. And it actually made, you know, where there used to be distrust, now there was trust. Now they had to come together, work together to protect their streets. Again, they plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. So subhanAllah, one thing after another, it really, really shows us that we shouldn't look at life, things are not what they seem. We shouldn't look at things as they appear, because Allah has a plan. And that things that sometimes, this is a very important lesson for us in our own lives, is that sometimes we see things as bad and yet there is good in it. And we see things as good and yet there is bad in it. And Allah tells us in the Quran that it may be that you love something and that it is bad for you. And it may be that you hate something and it's good for you. And so subhanAllah, in the end, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was in charge. Allah was in charge. And everything that happened, happened for a reason and had a certain appointed time where the victory of Allah came. And inshallah, we pray that we can also in our own lives look through the barriers and the problems and look through those things at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray that Allah sends victory to all of us and makes the people, you know, in Egypt firm and sends them, you know, the democracy, and inshallah gives and helps all oppressed people all over the world. أقولي قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.